Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It seems to me pretty clear that from the testimony of this morning's Gospel, if our Lord and his disciples were to have applied for a mission grant from the Strategic Development Fund of the Church of England, they would have been turned down with the attitude that they show here this morning. A woman comes asking of the Lord healing for her daughter who is vexed by the devil. The Lord does not reply. The disciples say, get rid of her. And then when the woman doesn't go away on her own accord, Jesus compares her attitude to that of a dog and eventually heals her only because she comes up with a clever way of allowing herself to benefit from the power of his miraculous work. What does this story teach us then, which apparently in some ways offends against English conceptions of good manners and courtesy? The fathers are clear that the woman of Canaan stands for the Gentile church, that is, our church. And they are clear also that she stands as a type of intercessor. The church, the Gentile church, comes to the Lord and beseeches him for her children who are vexed by the devil. The church intercedes for her members and intercedes for the world, intercedes for her members as her children, but intercedes also for those who are so afflicted and vexed by the devil that they are unable to call out for mercy on their own behalf. And in the story, we see also the importance of perseverance in intercession, which is the Lenten lesson that this gospel teaches to us. The church cries out to the Lord for her children, and she has to call out persistently. She does not receive immediately what she asks for. She has to persist so that those of her household might benefit from the power that the Lord's miraculous works do for her. The daughter is freed from the vexation of the devil through the faith of the woman, through the worship of the woman. What does this tell us then about the Christian dispensation, about the dispensation and the call that each one of us has to individual holiness, to transformation of life, to what we seek in the ascesis of Lent? Firstly, it teaches us that we are called to cooperate with the Lord in his work. We know from the Gospels that the Lord teaches us that he intercedes for us always, and that his work of intercession continues at the right hand of the Father. The work of intercession, the work of prayer, the work of calling upon the Lord is part of the self-emptying of the Son of God. Jesus' prayer is a true prayer, a prayer that comes from his sacred human heart, a prayer of love and intercession for all those whom he has redeemed. And we are called to be cooperators in that prayer. We are called through our own intercession to show ourselves to be one in the body with the one who is our head. It is a high calling. We are also called to be persistent in prayer, to understand that it is the will of God that our prayer should be urgent, that our prayer should be insistent. The great Dominican theologian Herbert McCabe, talking about distraction in prayer, says that people on sinking ships are rarely troubled by distraction. Very often in our prayers, we are troubled by distraction, by a sense perhaps of purposelessness in what we ask for. But God calls on us and asks us to be like the woman of Canaan, who is a type of effective prayer, to come to the Lord calling for her child, to say, Lord, save this child from the vexation of the devil. And so, in cooperating with the will of God, who chooses to anoint his only son as our intercessor, we receive too a blessing, because God asks us through our work of intercession to serve his people, and in so doing he gives us a blessing. So at this Lenten season then, we receive as a particular joy and election, as a consequence of our baptism, the duty and the responsibility to intercede, to be like the woman of Canaan, to pray for those who are vexed by the devil. We have a duty of intercession for all those who are so bound by sin that they cannot pray for themselves. We have a duty to pray for all those who are so conscious of sin and of habits of sin deep-seated that they feel they can have no release. And we are called to take on that duty urgently and imperatively. Our intercession must be real intercession. Like the woman who prays for her daughter, so we must pray for those whom we love, for those for whom we have a responsibility, for those whose need we see. And we're called also in this season of Lent to contemplate our intercession in the light of the passage of time. For each of us, there will be a last Lent. For some of us, it may be this Lent. The work of intercession lasts on in this life as one in which we cooperate with the Lord in a way according to the shape of what we see, shape of how our lives develop. One day, God willing, and through his grace, we shall enjoy the vision of God, and our intercession will be of a different order, an order closer and clearer to the intercession of the Lord at the right hand of the Father. But while we are here, we must pray urgently, because the time is short. This Lenten season calls out to be sanctified by our ascesis, to be sanctified by our self-sacrifice, to be sanctified by our closeness to the Lord. The woman of Canaan teaches us that to be close to the Lord, to worship him truly, is to intercede, to pray for others, to ask that the Lord may lift the vexation of evil and the toils of the devil from those who are afflicted, so that the Gentile church, of which we are members, may pray and receive a blessing, the blessing that the woman receives when her daughter is made whole from that very hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.